Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
I love that opening. I'll tell ya. You know, that's an opening. I have never talked about this, but that's an opening we put together, our very own selves, kind of an inspiration of the opening of The Music Man. Have you ever seen, I bet everybody's seen The Music Man. You can talk, you can talk, you can bicker, you can talk, you can talk, 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 bicker, bicker, bicker. You can talk all you want, but it's different than it was. Anyway, once you start it, it's really hard to stop. And I thought for talk radio, we should do something similar, but not exactly the same, because, of course, as you know, there are royalties for that sort of thing. And we decided to put that together kind of as an homage, an homage to talk radio, because talk radio is such a special medium. I've been in love with it forever. No, since I was about 14. Anyway, so we hope you like that because we're going to keep using it, whether you like it or not, I guess. But I'm always open to feedback. You know, even if I don't agree with what you have to say, I am so happy to hear you say it. That is one of the problems today that we are going through, and a lot of people just don't take it seriously enough how quickly we could lose our First Amendment rights, our rights to free expression. And it is involved with just about everything we do today. Our rights, our Bill of Rights, and our free speech is under attack. Probably one of the reasons I love doing this so much, to exercise my free speech rights. And as I've said before, it bears repeating, so I'm going to repeat it. And that is that the true meaning of the First Amendment, the portion that talks about expression, and I'm not an attorney. I'm glad. There are way too many attorneys in talk radio, in my opinion. But the true meaning of the First Amendment as it relates to free expression is that the government can't punish you for what you say. But we've had a tradition in this country of accepting and tolerating things, even that which we disagree with, that we cannot stand, that we're disgusted by. But we know the difference between speech and action. And that is the problem, one of the many problems that the left is trying to chip away at. Actually, more like taking a sledgehammer to. And that's the truth. They are testing us all to see our resolve in protecting our First Amendment rights. And they think they're the only ones, the hard left, the leftists, if you will, they think they're the only ones that are allowed to express themselves and everything else. All you got to do is call it hate speech. And who gets to decide what is hate speech? Who gets to decide that what you're saying is blasphemous? It's fascinating to me that the liberals, the left, have abandoned every so-called principle they ever had. I mean, they were the free speech people. Now, suddenly, they have their own kind of blasphemy. If you don't use the right pronoun, if you don't say the right thing. The other thing they do, and this has been bugging me for days, I did 4 hours of talk radio yesterday, had the time of my life, as I always do, filling in this time for Jimmy Lakey over on 600 KCOL, and I didn't even get the chance, and if you are listening, and you heard me plug, I guess, you know, you got to do that. It's unfortunate, but you got to plug yourself a little, or you'll be talking into the wind and no one will hear you. So yes, I plugged this show, Spouting Off. This is one of my babies in talk radio because I created it and produced it. And I'm always happy when people pick it up or give it a great review. So we got a really great review, by the way, from Joe, it's going to kill me now if I can't remember his name offhand, but it's on the front of my website, Joe. Thank you. It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, Joe gave us a great review. He said, listen to this chick. She's on fire, or whatever he said. So, you know, I like that. Anyway, I digress. I didn't have the time to really go into what I wanted to talk about in the beginning there. And not only is the left telling us what we cannot say, telling us what we must say, as in using pronouns. They're actually commanding speech. This is as blatantly unconstitutional as like a whole host of other things they've been saying lately and doing that need to be tested in court. But our First Amendment is absolutely under attack. As a matter of fact, Dennis Prager has a new film out called No Safe Spaces. I can't wait to see it. It hasn't come to my neck of the woods yet. But it is all about this, about the attacks on free speech. It defies everything that our country has stood for. But okay, so let's see. They tell you what you can't say. They tell you what you can say. And guess what the third thing they do? They define and redefine words. So all of a sudden now they're using, I mean, politicians have always used words differently because they couch things and they shade things and they parse things. But this, I'm telling you, I heard this because, as you know, I'm a talk radio junkie. I listen to lots of talk radio. And I heard this on a newscast, and I looked for it and scoured everywhere to hear it because I wanted to comment on it. So thank you, Doug, for getting this soundbite up. Listen to this soundbite of Elizabeth Warren. And this was, I believe, in the last debate, which I am proud to say I did not watch. And from the looks of things, I didn't miss a thing. But I got this soundbite. So go for it. It's a short one.
I'm tired of freeloading billionaires. I think it's time that we ask those at the very top to pay more so that every single one of our children gets
a real chance. Senator Warren.
Okay. Did you hear that? If you're listening and you want to call in and tell me, you may not want to call in. I'm going to tell you the number in case you want to call in. It's 888-627-6008. We got a great guest in about 10 minutes, and I'm going to have to take a break. But if you call me and you tell me what bothers you about that, I will delay the break because, hey, I'm the producer, so I can do that. Can't do that on terrestrial radio. When you have to take a break, you have to take a break. In this case, I have a little bit of fudging room, although I don't like to fudge too much. All right. So if you could play that one more time, Doug, can you loop that back up and then just stop it after all the other voices come in and just at the end of what she says, just from the beginning up to that point? This just makes me cringe. Go for it.
I'm tired of freeloading billionaires. I think it's time that we ask those at the very top to pay more so that every single one of our children gets
a real chance.
Thank you, Doug. Isn't he the best? We love Doug, our producer. So it is time that those evil billionaires, we ask them to pay more so that our children could get a good education. Ask is the word that I said. Ask? Really? Yeah? Is she going to use the power of government to ask them? Is it going to be voluntary on their part? Heck no, darn no, and hell no. She is not going to ask them. She's going to force them. She's going to make them. Because why? Because she knows better than everyone else. Because she's smarter than everyone else. And oh, don't look over here where all the money that she makes, because she gets to make laws on everyone else. The arrogance of that, the ignorance of that, is really the stuff of socialism, isn't it? It is. It's people who do not have to live by their own rules, but they think that they ought to be able to lay down laws and rules on you. But to say it's ask, I mean, I might have a tiny bit more respect for her, and I don't really have much respect for her at all, but I might have a little more respect for her if she would have said, we're going to make those evil billionaires pay more, just like Beto O'Rourke said, hell yeah, we're going to take your AR-15. At least he was being honest. I think he's a He's a nutbag, but he was honest. It's much easier to fight honest stupidity than it is dishonest connivory. Ooh, I should write that down. And that's kind of what's going on here. That's why I've been very, very happy that the left have been so honest about what they really think, what they really believe, and they've been just a little too naive to lie. And then here comes Barack Obama. Don't you love him? He can never stay out of the limelight. And he says, well, you know, we can't afford to be this radical and this far left. I guarantee you. Gosh, I don't know if I'm supposed to be cursing this much. I mean, you can do it on the internet, but don't do it on terrestrial radio. You can say guarantee on the radio, but I try to have the same standards here on Spouting Off as we do on the terrestrial airways. I can guarantee you that Barack Obama is every bit as liberal as every one of those Democrat candidates standing on that stage. I got to tell you, they are all, there's very little daylight between all of them. They're all just as left as the next. I mean, let's face it, Obama was the one who wanted to take over a sixth of our economy with taking over healthcare. And it was only just a stopgap measure in order to bring in universal healthcare. He said it. He didn't just connive about it, which he connived about a lot. But that was his plan all along, to put in something that would take over but would be unsuccessful. And now all the candidates are saying, oh, we got to fix health care. Well, you guys were in control of it. Did you lie to us? Yes. Did you lie to us that you could keep your doctor if you liked your doctor? Yes. Were you incompetent, and are people paying more for healthcare than ever before? Yes. But we're not supposed to pay attention to that. We're just not supposed to listen to that. So that's my real bugaboo today and for a long time is liberal lingo. You know, all we got to do is now if I had a couple of hours, and we only have an hour for Spouting Off. But if I had an hour and I didn't have a wonderful guest that I'm going to tell you about when we get back, we would think about and scour for all the kind of liberal lingo. In fact, I have an article I'll pull up after the break about the kind of ways that they have changed the language, which then changes the culture. It's insidious, and we need to watch out for it because we can't accept and tolerate them changing the meaning of words. Ooh, I just cracked my voice. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break right now. And when we come back, I'll give you a little more of those examples. And I'll tell you something about our guest this Thanksgiving week. This is show number 91. And you're listening to Karen Cataline here on Spouting Off. We'll be right back.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
Got a lot to do here on Spouting Off. Karen Cataline back with you. I just want to give you a couple of these before we bring on our guest, and then I'll tell you more about his esteemed background, okay? There are just so many of these. We have the way the liberals change our language. Transgender is a euphemism for gender confusion, right? I could do 2 hours on that. Let's see. Here's another one. Protest and free speech, when used by leftists, generally indicate rioting. Well, that's interesting. Women's rights and women's liberation are euphemisms for feminism. And don't forget, what are they called? Undocumented workers instead of illegal aliens. And then they get really, really angry at you if you use the legal term illegal alien. Nobody's an alien. Nobody's illegal. But it's just a legal term. And of course, that's faux snowflakeism, because that's not really the deal. They just want to change the language. And by changing the language as it relates to immigration, they're changing the law. They want to change the law without going through Congress, by simply putting it out of favor. You see how that works? I know you do, because you're listening to me. So I know you see how that works. It's stunning the way that happens. So I just want to, I have this new great idea. At least I thought it was great. Who knows? Maybe it's a dumb idea. But it's called rhetorical civil disobedience. When they tell you you can't use a word, I suggest you use it that much more, just to let them know that they can't control your language. And we've allowed them to control our language in all sorts of ways. Now language, using language is somehow a crime, but committing crimes we should be soft on. Doug, by the way, let's go ahead and call in our guest. He's going to call our guest because I wanted to get that out there before we brought him on. And while we are putting our guest, giving him a call so that we have him ready, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest. All righty. So, Norman Schaybell has over 50 years of extensive legal experience. He's an attorney, yes. He's actually one of those good attorneys. He's received one of the highest ratings given in Martindale-Hubbell, the country's foremost legal directory, and numerous other awards and honors. He's recovered $70 million for his clients in the last four decades alone, and listed as a super lawyer by South Jersey Magazine. The other thing I want to tell you about Norman Schaybell, a couple of things, is that he is an author and a playwright. He's written 9 novels, mostly legal mysteries, and 7 plays. 2 of his plays were produced in Philadelphia, and his most recent, A Class Act, was performed off-Broadway in 2016. There's one other thing I got to tell you. Full disclosure, and it's a cool thing, it's Thanksgiving week, and so in Thanksgiving, it's often a great time to have family. And Norman Schaybell happens to be my cousin. So, and I don't get a chance to talk to him too darn much. He's on the other side of the country in the Eastern time zone. But as you know, Spouting Off is heard all over the country. And boy, if you have the internet, you can hear it all over the world. Welcome to Spouting Off, Norman Schaybell.
Hi, Karen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thank you for making the time on this Thanksgiving week to be with us here on Spouting Off. So this was kind of one of those inspirational, spontaneous kinds of invites. When you wrote me, because I'm always sending out my op-eds and blog posts to a select group of people around the country, and you wrote me back. And that was mostly about impeachment. And I thought, oh, Norman would make such a great guest on Spouting Off, because you've got some thoughts and opinions from a legal perspective on impeachment. Now that the impeachment, how do I say this in a nice way? They put out all their bullets there before the Thanksgiving holiday. Now we know what they've got, and which, in my opinion, is nothing. What do you think in this break in the holidays before they come back? What do you think is going on, and what do you think might happen?
Well, first of all, I think this whole hurrah that the Democrats are bringing up, it revolves outside of a telephone call that our president had with the president of the country as well. The point is this. As the president of the United States, he is the guardian of the monies that we pay out to other countries, such as we put out $400 million to the country involved, and therefore he had the obligation to make sure that the $400 million that we're giving this country will be used for what the reasoning was all, which was, of course, helping out Ukraine to defend themselves against Russia and other means, and also for other expenses as well. Now, the whole thing revolves around where the Democrats say this one telephone call that he made to the president of Ukraine, that the call itself was illegal under his umbrella. First of all, it was not illegal. His job was to govern where that $400 million goes to, which was, where was it supposed to go? And he was, as the president of the United States, he has the monitoring of the $400 million. Now, of course, he found out that $6 million a year is going to Hunter Biden, and as Hunter Biden's role in some kind of a committee company, which he has no experience on. So the question is, why did he get $6 million a year? Where did it come from? Well, perhaps
and isn't it interesting, Norman, that in the entire so-called impeachment trial hearings, and that's all they weren't anything official. If they were, they would have given the other side something in order to be heard in their side of the story, other than House representatives asking questions. Isn't it interesting that they weren't the least bit interested in the Bidens or in Hunter Biden? And that is a very example of what Trump is being accused of, is it not?
Well, that's the point. On the one telephone call, whereupon he's talking to the president of Ukraine, they contend that the president of the United States has in some way breached the legality of his office, which is totally wrong. He has the right to, in fact, his right and his obligation is to find out where $400 million is going to in Ukraine. And part of that money, maybe not part of that money, but some of the money went to Hunter Biden, $6 million, who, by the way, is not a Ukrainian. But second of all, he's not an expert with his committee was involved. So why was the $6 million paid to him? And it was paid, by the way, when his father was the vice president of the United States.
And yes, and
he had, the president of the United States had the obligation and the right to actually look into it to see if it's a kosher, the $6 million of the $400 million that we gave to Ukraine.
Yeah. It seems like it. Now, I told you yesterday or whatever day when I asked you if you wanted to come on the radio with me, and I'm so delighted that you did. I asked you if you had heard, because I realize you're not the political junkie I am, but you do stay on top of things, Hunter Biden is not the only child of a political figure, an elected official, who's been the conduit for money. Apparently, it so now turns out that Mitt Romney's kid is involved in it. Nancy Pelosi's kids are involved in it. And the great Lurch, John Kerry's kids, are also involved in a scam to be taken money from one of the most corrupt countries in the world, Ukraine. But we're not supposed to look at any of that. We're only supposed to look at Donald Trump because we have to get him out of office, don't you know?
Yeah, but Karen, it wouldn't be so bad for this money to go to these people, whether it's illegal or not, because that's Ukraine. The point is, we're paying $400 million to Ukraine for defense of their country against Russia. So, but the thing is, that's why America has an obligation to see that the $400 million is used for what it was intended for by Congress, and
yes,
that's what Trump is obligation to do. So now, notwithstanding this one telephone call, he just merely asked. He says, "Well, he asked the president of Ukraine about Hunter Biden, and did he get any money from it? Well, he did get money. He got $500,000 a month. $6 million a year. How many years? I don't even know. He has no expertise in the committee that he's supposed to get the money for. And the Democrats are going after him on this five-minute telephone call because the Democrats know that come next year, Trump is going to win the election again. And they got to do something right now.
From your mouth to God's ears. Norman Schaybell, can you stay with us through a break?
Sure, I can. I'd be glad to stay here and talk to you some more.
That's great. We're just getting started here. Norman Schaybell, very, very distinguished attorney, been around in New Jersey and fought the big cases on the East Coast, and he has some Colorado roots as well. We're snowed in here, by the way, Norman, in Denver. In Colorado, and so we hope we've picked up some new listeners. We'll be back in just a moment. Karen Cataline with you here on Spouting Off.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. There's some drippy bumper music for a snowy day on in Colorado in the Mountain Time Zone. Our guest happens to be my cousin, Norman Schaebel, a very experienced, distinguished attorney, tried many, many landmark cases, and we're getting him to do what it's not always possible to do with attorneys, and that is to talk politics. So we're talking a little bit about the impeachment trial. What do you think, Norman? Do you think that they're going to go forward and file articles of impeachment? Because there's a very big downside if they do. People are already sick of it. What do you think?
Karen, I think that, you know, Shiv and Nadal, they're not experienced lawyers, and I don't even know if they are lawyers. I know that they know that if they don't do something now, in 2020, on the election, Trump is going to win. You know, either they're going to lose to our friend just came in,
Michael Bloomberg,
just came in.
Nanny Bloomberg.
Yeah, Bloomberg, or they're going to lose to Trump, definitely, because Trump, it's in the years that he's been in, it's only been 2.5-3 years, the economy of America has gone through the roof.
This yes.
I'm not a Trumpian fan. In fact, sometime years ago, he had a company which I filed suit on behalf of a client of mine. But the point is this, Trump is... we're benefiting from all the experience that he has had over the many, many years, good experience and bad experience. The stock market has gone through the roof, and it's because of his negotiation with international people like the Chinese, etc. So what I'm merely saying is this. I don't believe that Trump comes from Mount Vesuvius. All I know is he's been through an awful lot. He has the experience of, and he knows how his adversary is thinking. That's the way that he does so well when he's negotiating with China or Mexico or whatever it is. So notwithstanding, I believe his morality, but I do believe his experience is so good that we're all benefiting so well over the last 2.5 years, and we'll benefit even more in the years to come. But the Democrats, they're going to impeach him.
Because they're going to impeach him. That's what people are taking bets on right now. Let me go back to something you said, only because, you know, as a longtime political watcher, you and me, when Trump came on the scene, it seemed pretty clear that he wasn't a conservative ideologue. In other words, he wasn't, it wasn't conservative principles of lower taxes and limited government that really animated him. And yet, he has shown a more conservative, his administration in action has actually been way more conservative than some of the people that are so avowed conservative have promised to be. So because he has good common sense, and if you want the economy to do well, then you got to care about Americans and American jobs and American policy. So I think that's one of the reasons he's so successful. I could go on about a lot of other ones, but I want to give you a chance. So you think that the Democrats have no choice but to impeach him? What are they going to do when it goes over to the Senate and the Senate gets to call actual witnesses on behalf of Trump?
Yeah, but you see, the Democrats are so inexperienced in trial work and legal work that they feel that if they impeach him, that it's going to help them in the election of next year. They're feeling they can BS their way through a trial in the Senate, and therefore once they get over that, they know he's not going to be impeached, but they know the taint will be on it when he runs for the presidency for next year again. But they have no choice.
Yeah, he won't be indicted.
They're definitely going to impeach him.
He won't be indicted. He won't be thrown from office, but they want to smear him with the I word.
That's exactly right.
And that's what they want to do. And interestingly enough, and I'll let you comment about this after a break, is, Trump's ratings, his approval ratings are going nothing but up, even in the face of impeachment. And I would argue because of impeachment, because it's unfair. It's a railroad thing, and it's a show trial. But anyway, I'm just delighted to have my cousin this Thanksgiving week talking about impeachment, all things politics, and he's an attorney, so he can tell us all kinds of great legal stuff on the side. Stay with us. We'll have more with Norman Chabelle, actually. I always used to call you Chabelle, but it's actually Norman Chabelle, right? That's how he says his name. Here on Spouting Off, you're with Karen Cataline. Don't go away. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. And we are back. Such great bumper music from our producer, Doug, here on BBS Radio Station 1. You're listening to Karen Cataline here on Spouting Off, having so much fun talking to Norman Chabelle, who is an experienced attorney, delightfully opinionated, and has lots to say about this impeachment trial. You wanted to talk a little bit about the impeachment process, which is, as you mentioned off air, a trial. So tell everyone what we can expect. God, you know, I think he's going to win either way because Trump is an amazing character. But what can we look forward to or not
well,
look
first,
forward to?
First of all, Karen, I definitely think the Democrats are not going to leave this go because they know if they don't do something more like impeachment trial itself, they have no chance in 2020 in the presidency.
Yes, so and there are politicians. I just have to say, we have tape of politicians actually saying that. If we don't impeach him, he'll get reelected. I mean, it's all out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, but they make a mistake. They're making a big mistake, you know, because the impeachment trial is like any other trial that I've been involved in. It's two sides. The Democrats are the plaintiff, and the Republicans, Trump, they're the defendant. The point is this. What's going to come out, because the Republican prosecutors can put Schiff and Nadel and whoever they want on the stand under oath. I mean, that's what the Republicans want to do. They want to put these shysters on the stand under cross-examination under oath and see how they work their way out of it, which you're not going to do. It's like any other trial where you have competition on both sides. Well, then the Republicans are going to be the prosecutors, and they're going to put these people on under oath. And so what are they going to do? Are they going to lie under oath? I don't think so.
I don't know.
What's going to happen?
Norman, don't you think it's interesting that the whole case hinged on a whistleblower, and then all of a sudden Schiff decided not even to put him on the stand? The whole case hinges on a whistleblower that it was already determined he had had contact with before the complaint was ever made, so he knew he was weak and vulnerable, so he didn't put him on.
Well, the thing is, on a trial, the prosecution, the Republicans, can demand that the whistleblower be appear and testify. I mean, it'll go to a judge, of course, but I think a judge will say, well, you're right. We have this whistleblower who started all this should be testifying in court, and where the prosecution Republicans can cross-examine him, the so-called whistleblower. I, to be honest with you, I think this particular whistleblower is some Democrat back years ago.
We know who he is. We know who he is. We're not allowed to say, don't you know? I'll tell you who he is right now. You want me to tell you? I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, sure.
You go ahead. Huh? Keep talking, and I've got the internet here, and I'm going to Eric Ciaramella. Eric Ciaramella. Ciaramella. Eric Ciaramella. So we're not supposed to use his name because, of course, the left, anytime they are on the defense, on the defensive, they claim that their lives are in danger and we have to protect them, which is nonsense because the whole meaning of a whistleblower is to stand up, stand firm, and to speak out and be heard, even if you have to take the consequences, which does not mean getting hurt. But this is a sham along with the impeachment hearing. The whistleblower has an obligation to be heard.
Karen, that's why I think if the Democrats are stupid enough to put the impeachment trial forward, then, of course, the prosecution Republicans will then demand that the whistleblower be presented, and they'll go to the judge, of course, to make a legal decision whether the whistleblower has to testify, etc. I think he should testify because, according to Schiff, that's the reason why the Democrats brought the impeachment, because of the so-called whistleblower. And
right.
I understand that the whistleblower may be a Democrat someplace.
Oh, else, he is.
And yeah,
there's pictures of him with every Democrat operative. There are pictures on the internet of Eric Ciaramella shaking hands with Barack Obama. Let me lay this one on you in a little bit of our time left here. Because you said something made my brain start working again. And you said if the Democrats are stupid enough, and, you know, they're a combination of stupid and not very good people, but then there's a lot of those in politics on both sides of the aisle. I believe that they're playing to a totally different audience than you and me and hopefully my listeners. They're playing to a what Rush Limbaugh likes to call the low information or no information voters, who only if they read a headline, that's a lot. So all they know is, oh, he's going to be impeached. They still think impeachment means he's going to get kicked out of office because he's impeached. They have been de-educated from civics and history and the way this country works. And the Democrats, that is their base. What do you think about that that idea, Norman?
About why the Democrats are doing all this?
Well, yes, I'm saying that, you know, they don't think we're stupid, but their base and their grassroots that they're playing to, frankly, aren't very well educated. If you've ever seen...
Well, you know what it is? Politicians don't have great faith in the voting public at all, and particularly Democrats. They feel that they can con the voter out there, the voter who looks at the headline only and votes.
That's what
from
I
the
said.
Headline.
Yeah. Yes.
I know you said, and you're true.
Yeah.
But the question is this: when Trump get into the presidency, he only had about 47% of the vote. He won on the he didn't win on the
The popular vote.
Not on the popular vote. He won on the
electoral
college. So the point is this: they're thinking and hoping that certain voting areas, such as Pennsylvania, they're thinking that if they can put this in front of the public in those areas there, that they're going to vote for Democrats and they're going to win the election. And that's untrue.
Right.
For some of those, Pennsylvania and Maryland, there are really a lot of bright voters there that are looking for not only for parties, they're looking for the best for the country itself.
Norman, and you gave me another wonderful opening, which is here in Colorado, because we had the left take over the state. We don't even have any legislative opposition to the hard left in Colorado currently. They tried to pass, and they did pass, taking away. Long story short, listeners from Colorado know that, and this is all over the country, trying to take away the Electoral College through the back door by having a pact. Are you familiar with the National Popular Vote Pact that the Democrats have been pushing around the country?
No, but I can understand that they would like to have the voting public as opposed to the Electoral College.
Yes, yeah. And that's why. And the reason for that is because not only is California and New York reliably left, but they have millions and millions of illegal alien voting. And Hillary won by a couple million votes. And if you took away a whole bunch of those illegal alien votes in California, and that's why they claim she won the popular vote. We don't elect a president with the popular vote. If you look at the map of where Trump won, he won all across the country in a broad win. And where he didn't win, no Republican has ever won in the last, I don't know how many years, and that is the great Democrat strongholds. And he won a lot of Democrat strongholds like Michigan and what have you. So yeah. What worries me, Norman, and I'd love your thoughts on this, is we've seen again and again that today's left, which now runs the Democrat Party, it's not yours and my parents, grandparents, Democrat Party anymore. They have shown that they will lie, cheat, and steal in order to get power. And so to trust them with this impeachment or any other thing, you'd think people would have learned by now that they will say anything or do anything in order to win.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I have one other voodoo claim about our politicians. Do you know how much they make per year? Do you know what their medical plans are? They're so great. They make hundreds of thousands of dollars a salary. And do you know how many terms they have to serve before they can retire? They can Congress. They can go for two terms and then retire on a big number. I mean, the big thing is this. They're doing all this, and they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars as salaries and not running the country like they should run the country. There's so many things that should be done that Trump is doing it singularly, and he's doing it well, not because he's such an honest and wonderful guy, because he's a very smart businessman. And that's why we need a Trump.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's why we need a Trump on the second four years. So, because right now the stock market has gone crazy. It's gone almost 35% to 40% more since he took office. And it's not only the stock market. It's the companies are doing so well all over America. And that's the reason why Trump should be reelected. And forget about this hogwash about impeachment, because that's only a gimmick by the Republicans to try to beat somebody who's very difficult to beat the right way in 2020.
You are so right. And I love your passion, Norman. It's just great to see. I would argue also, though, that what the Democrats don't want the average voter to know is that Donald Trump doesn't need this job, he doesn't need the money, and he didn't need the aggravation. He is donating every dime of his salary because he doesn't want to and wouldn't be called dishonest for doing so. He's taking more grief and aggravation than any president probably has ever taken. That's a pretty dramatic statement, but he's taking as much as any president ever has, and certainly one who's being framed for stuff he didn't do. And it's because truly he does love this country, and he loves what this country was founded upon, which are free markets, and free speech and freedom of religion and all of those things. I think his very presence has exposed just how far away from our moorings and our principles we have come. That's why he's such a threat.
Well, one final thing, Karen. I think sure. the Democrats would be stupid to have the impeachment codified and go and send it to the Senate for the trial. Because if it is a trial, they're going to be shown as what they are, the little people who really have no policy. They don't care about even their own voters. They just want to be in, they want to be in Washington heading the whole deal. And the only way they can do it is to get rid of Trump, because Trump will not only win the election, he's going to bring his own party back in to, in the Senate and possibly the House of Representatives, which they lost the last 2 years ago. So that's why I feel that that's why the Democrats have to, they'd be really stupid to do this, but they're going to do it.
Well, they've painted themselves into a corner now.
Yeah.
Like, how do you back off and jump up and down and scream and yell fire in a crowded theater and then say, just like Emily Latella on Saturday Night Live, never mind. I mean, how do you do that?
Anyway, thank you very much for having me.
Before I let you go, I got a few minutes, just a few, but I want people to know how they can know your work. You're a playwright. You're an author. You were in the publishing business for a while. Tell people where they can learn more about you and contact you.
I had a great class act was given in 2 years ago in New York City off Broadway, and it deals about water contamination in America, where six lawyers and one CEO are around a conference table arguing to negotiate a settlement of it. And it got some great reviews by the Huffington Post, etc. And it's called The Class Act. And I'm down in Florida trying to get it down here and possibly to get it on Broadway, because it's Andrew Napolitano, who is a friend of mine. He was in it for one performance, and he really enjoyed doing it. But
great.
That's what I want to do in the future. I have a couple of plays I'd like to put on. Particularly, I'd like to put it on Broadway.
That is great. Well, you certainly have been massively successful, both as an attorney and as a writer, as a novelist, and now a playwright. We wish you a great and wonderful happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, to my cousins and everyone. And this was just a great family show to have you on. So thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on the air.
Thank you, Karen, to you. You and yours on the best Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and Christmas or whatever it is. And thank you for having me on
Hanukkah,
the show.
That'll work. You take care. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Good. My pleasure. Well, one final thought, because we got a couple minutes, just a couple, is Thanksgiving isn't just about turkey. It's about giving thanks. And we don't need a Thanksgiving one day a year, but we can be grateful all year round. Don't mean to be preachy, but I have enormous things to be grateful for this year, and I hope you do too. I hope that if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, that things get better for you and that this new year will see us at peace and grateful and a return. That is my prayer, return to our principles, to our American foundings, to our freedom, and hopefully to our loved ones. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thank you to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish, and who happens to be my husband. And tune in next week when there's going to be oh so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.